And this morning I'd like to speak about peace. And the title of my message is The Secret of Peace in Christ. Let's turn to our Bible. Let's open book Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to look at from chapter 2, from verse 11 to 18. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 to 18. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the humans, by the hands of men. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenant of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. Verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandment and regulations. His purpose was to create himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him, you both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, our Lord Jesus, we want to thank you. This morning we can come together and to worship you. We want to thank you again and remind ourselves again, we thank you for your salvation. You sent your Son to die for our sin on the cross, that today we can be your children, and we know you, and therefore we can come to worship you. Now we ask the Holy Spirit be with us in the following 30 or 40 minutes. May you be our guide, our teacher, because no one can understand your word through your Spirit. May you help me to preach your word clearly. May you be the teacher of every one of us, so we can understand your word and how to apply this passage to our life. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Peace. I want to ask everyone, do you have peace this morning? There's no answer. Maybe there's not. Oh, as I thought, some people are laughing. I guess they are very peaceful. Peace is a very important human desire. Everybody wants to have a peace, especially when they are in distress or in pain or in panicking. Not only we need to have inner peace, we all desire to have peace among the people. In every human peace, whether in your work, in church, or in your family, we all desire peace with each other. To this morning, maybe you are thinking about how can I have peace? But my answer to you is, humankind doesn't know how to have peace unless you know Christ first. I read the human history, I found out that humankind, if you look at their history, they are always in war. There's really very few peace. Just as in the book of Bible, the Romans, Paul said this, in Romans chapter 3, verse 17, he said, the way of peace they do not know. And I found that it's true. Humankind does not have to have peace. If you look at human history, we seldom have peace. There are war among nations. There are ethnic tension. There are racial discrimination. In the same country, there are different kind of political party. And even sometimes in a family, there are conflict. I recently read an article. It says that the war, disease and malnutrition are killing 45,000 people every month in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Can you believe it? Every month, 45,000 people die due to a conflict-driven tension. A group of historians from England, Egypt, and Germany, they do research and they found out this information. Since 3300 BC up to now, that's about more than 5,000 years of recorded human history. The world has only had 292 years of peace. And during this period, there have been 14,351 wars. And 3.61 million people have been killed. And the property destroyed, today you can use to pay for Golden Bell around the whole world, which is 97 miles wide and 33 feet thick. Wow, I would like to have those gold. And that's what happened in human being history. Last night I read the newspaper. There's ethnic tension in Kenya, African Kenya. Right now the war happening there. And just only 2 hour drive from the capital city of Kenya, a city called Nakuru, anarchy happening there. Furious mob ruled the street. They burned home. They brutalized people. They experienced any people, anyone in their ethnic group, and without any impunity. And on Saturday, just only 100 men plowed a section of the city with 6 foot iron bar, with poison sword, with club, with knife, and with the crew circumcision tools. And even boy carry a gadi at the style of a shield, and women take up the weapon, and police was nowhere can be found. That's what the world we are seeing today. Humankind desire to have peace, but unfortunately they do not know how to have peace. So how can we have a true peace? How can we have a peace? The passage this morning, it talks about the secret of the peace. If you look at this passage, at least there are four places talk about peace. In verse, verse 14, it says, "For he himself, Jesus Christ, is our peace." And in verse 15, the last part, he says that his purpose was to create himself one new man out of two that make him peace. And in verse 17, he says, "Jesus Christ came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near." So there are four places talk about peace. This passage is about the secret of peace. This morning, whether maybe you have a conflict with somebody, maybe in your home, maybe in your school, maybe at your work, maybe in church, we ought to understand this passage. Let's look at the background of this passage. Verse 11. Paul said, "Therefore, remember that formerly you were a Gentile by birth, and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision." And verse 12, "Remember that at that time you were separated from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and in foreigners to the covenant of the promise without hope and without God in the world." Paul is using an example of the hostility between the Jews and the Gentile, trying to tell us how can we have true peace. If you know the background in those days, the ethnic Christians are primarily Gentile. They are not Jews. And in those days, there is a severe conflict between the Jews and the Gentile. And as a matter of fact, that's still the case today, right? A few weeks ago, our President Bush just went to Middle East, tried to solve this the problem of peace, the conflict in Gaza Strip. Yesterday, I read the newspaper, the Israel put a siege around the whole Gaza Strip, and then the Palestinians in Gaza Strip has no food, so they have to break the wall and run away to Egypt to buy the food. No one can solve this problem. The history of Genesis. Abraham is the forefather of the Jews. He used to live in a place called Ur near the Persian Gulf. And one day, the Creator God, Yahweh, revealed to him, you have to leave your family, your homeland, and go to the place I instruct you to go. You have to stay away from the idol. You have to worship the genuine God. And so Abraham left his country, and then he come to a place called Canaan. And there he followed God. And at the age of 99, Yahweh, the Creator God, revealed to him, say, I'm God Almighty. Walk before me and blameless, and I will be your God. I will make you the father of all nations. I will make a nation out of you, and king will come out from you. And I will establish an everlasting covenant with you and with your descendants. I will be your God. I'll be God of your descendants. And also, I'll give this Canaan to you and to your descendants. And as this covenant, God asked Abraham and with all his descendants, at age of 8, they all have to be circumcised as a token of this covenant. And as a result, the Jews think about their superior to Gentiles. They think that they are the only one who know the genuine God. They think the Gentile has no relationship with God. They have no hope. They think that the Gentile has no relation to Christ. Now, if you understand the history of the Jews, the Israel, every time when they're in trouble, their country in trouble, they're looking for an anointed one. That's called Christ. They're looking for a savior, an anointed king to come to save them. And they always think about this anointed one only come for them, not come from any Gentile. They think Gentile was created for like a few in this world. And as a matter of fact, they always call the Gentile the uncircumcised. You know, what does that mean? When you call someone uncircumcised in their viewpoint, that's an act of disrespect. That's an act of despising, an act of contempt. Basically, what they're saying is that all those Gentiles are unclean, sexually immoral. That's in Paul's day and in the history. And as a matter of fact, Gentiles hate Jews also. You recall that in the Second World War too, right? Millions of Jews were killed in Europe. That's Holocaust. There's a conflict between the Jew and the Gentile. There's no peace. In overall history, and even today, no one can solve this problem. And Paul, the Holy Spirit inspired Paul, is using this example to tell us how we can have peace. This morning, if you have no peace, if you have a conflict with someone else, I call that this morning you would understand this passage and you would try to learn how to have peace with your parent or with your classmate or with your colleague or with your brother and sister, come to reconcile in Jesus Christ. How can we have peace? First, this passage tells us we have to be brought near to Jesus Christ, to God, through the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's look at verse 13 and the first part of 14. Paul said, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. In the first part of 14 he said, for he himself is our peace. And then in verse 18 Paul said that, for through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. What's the secret to have a peace? You have to know that you can be brought near to God through the blood of Jesus Christ. In other words, Paul is telling the Gentiles, don't get mad. Don't easily so get offended, so angered. The Jew may look down you. The Jew may think that you're unclean, sexually immoral. The Jew may think about you as a second-class citizen. The Jew may think about you have no relation to God, you have no hope in this world. They may think about you just a few. You're created for them. And Paul tells the Gentile, you don't need to be so sensitive to other people thinking about you. Because in God's eyes, you can be a children of God, the children of Almighty God, the Creator God, because through the blood of Jesus Christ, He already redeemed you. He died for your sin. And in His eyes, you're just as treasured as anybody else. And therefore, you can have tremendous peace in your own heart. You can have inner peace in your heart. And you know, that's the first step we can have peace with others. The first step of peace with others is you have to have your own inner peace yourself. Do you find out that people who have no interest in inner peace? It will be a person which is very hostile and very easy to angry with others. I think Pastor Josh can tell you this about last week we have an ordination examination. And Pastor Josh talked about his salvation, his conversion experience. We all know that his father passed away when he was very young. And Josh told us that he was very angry when he was very young. Sometimes he was angry with God. Sometimes he was angry with his family member. And he angry with the world. But someday, he came to realize God loved him so much. He realized God see him a very important person and he's willing to send his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for his sin. And he can be called the Son of God. And from then on, he was settled. He had inner peace in his heart. And today we saw he's a very nice person, Gentile person, right? And a very nice pastor too. We all hope so. When we have no inner peace, we'll be a hostile person. I met a hostile person a couple of weeks ago. On my way home from Hayward Church to back to my home in Danville, I have to stop by at a gas station near the border of Castle Valley and Hayward to fill my car with gas. And I pull in the lane, and then I saw the two stands for filling the gas. The first one was taken already. So I stopped the second one. I get out of my car, and I take the pump, and I start to fill my gas. Oh, I found out malfunction. I cannot use. So I just wait for the car before me to finish and go. So when it finished, I pull my car forward. I get out again and trying to fill my gas. And when I just started, someone just standing there, are you blind? Ooh, I was scared. Are you blind? Don't you see there's some car before you? Oh, the car before me is a very wide body, BMW, a sports sedan. I don't know what it is. And then the car before it is very tiny. Of course, I cannot see it. I said, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't see that car. And then I was very surprised. I know, why are you so mad with me? I said, I'm sorry. And then I asked you, do you work here? He said, yes. And so, okay, so I just get out and then I pull my back up my car again. I wait for that. The car before me has to turn around. And then the car before that has to back up and it starts. And it's just a hustle. And because it's so difficult, that car just, find out the other lane has empty seat. So that car says, go ahead, go there. And then I find a spot, so I go went forward to fill my gas. And then at halfway while I'm doing it, that man coming out from the grocery store in the gas, he come out again and say, "Are you deaf? Oh, someone, he's running to me, want to kill me or something." I just stand in front of him. I said, no, I'm sorry, I'm not deaf. I saw, you know, that car already went there and this is empty. So I pulled back again to fill my gas. And so, you know, he's just so mad and he went away. And I saw that the other car on the other lane, I went forward. I said, I'm sorry, lady, I didn't see your car. So I did intention to back away and let you fill, but you take that seat. That's why I come back to take this seat. I asked that, is that man related to you? Oh, he said, oh, he's my husband. Oh, he's your husband. I said, What happened? Why are you so angry? I'm sorry. Can you explain to me? So, I'm sorry, I really didn't see your car. And a reason I come back to fill my gas because I already saw you have another spot. And so I did that. Oh, as he said, don't bother about it. We just have some trouble. He's always like that. I saw a hostile person. And I understand he has no inner peace. Brother and sister, do you know you want to have a peace with others? You have to have inner peace yourself. That's the first secret. The first step of the secret of peace. You need to know you're loved by Creator God. You can be reconciled to God. Even you are not perfect, even a sinner, because Jesus Christ died for you on the cross. You can be through His blood, and you can be reconciled to Creator God, and you can be called the Son of God. And you would have a tremendous peace. And from there, you'll be a less hostile person. And then Paul tells us, secondly, there's another step to have peace. This step is, you need to know that Jesus Christ has to fulfill all the laws for you undeservedly. Do you know one of the reasons why people become hostile? It's because they realize the other side did not meet their requirement, their rule, or their standard. I call their law, right? Let me example. Suppose you have a very expensive toy. Let's say this Nintendo Wii. How do I call that? Wii. I'm too old to know that. Nintendo Wii. I call it Wii. I think it's better. Wii. Okay. And you like it so much. It's so expensive. That's the best toy you have ever received. And then you love so much, you make a rule. You say that no one can play my Wii. Okay. No one can touch my Wii unless he clean his hands. And he cannot have any grease and any oil. Okay. And someday you walk into your bedroom, you find out your young brother is playing your Wii and with at least greasy hand and oil hand. And then you say, come on! And here you go. You get mad and you comfort star, right? And that, you see, comfort star. When someone did not meet your rule, your regulation, your law. And let me give you another example. Suppose you are a housewife and you make a rule. My husband has to call me if he has to be late from work. And then one day he has to stay late for his work. And he forgot to call you because he's very busy. Now, when he came home, now you become mad again. Here we go. Conflict starts. So basically, that's the reason for the conflict. Actually also the reason, the origin for the conflict between the Jews and the Gentiles. You know that Jews has many regulations and law and rules. As a matter of if you understand the background, the Jews and Paul say have about more than 600 rules and regulations. They have to keep Sabbath. They cannot travel for certain distance during the Sabbath. They cannot cook during the Sabbath. They cannot even heal. If your doctor cannot see a patient, they have to clean their hand before they eat the food. And they have to be circumcised. And they have to went to temple 3 times or 4 times a year. Many, 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 600 or more regulations. And they keep it rigorously. On the other hand, the Gentile doesn't keep that as rigorously. And as a result, the Jews hate Gentiles. They think that they don't follow the rule we are following. And then, because of they're so proud, the Gentiles also hate them. And that's how the conflict starts between the Jew and Gentile. And in Paul's day, indeed, there's a dividing war between them. Paul, in this passage, calls there's a war of hostility. Do you know they actually build a wall? In Jewish temple, they build a wall between in the temple court, between the Gentile and the Jew. There's an outer court that's only allowed for the Gentiles. And then this inner court, several places for the call of Jewish woman, call for the Jewish man, and then inner court. And then between the outer court and inner court, there's a sign said this. If anyone who is not Jew fail to venture into this inner court, and they will be put to death. Period. You see, there's a dividing wall between the Gentile and the Jews. But that's what Jesus is trying to do. He came to solve this problem. How did Jesus solve this problem? Jesus knows that none of us can keep the law. In verse 2, a second part of verse 14, Paul said this way. Now let me read again with my eye. He said, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandment and regulation? Jesus knows that none of us can completely keep the law. And therefore, he come here to die for our transgression against the law. Not only that, he came as a perfect man to fulfill the law of God for all of us. So anyone who realized that Jesus has fulfilled the law for them, even they are sinners, they undeservedly, Jesus died for them and fulfilled their law, they will start to treat others in a similar way. That's the secret to have peace. You have to realize that you are not perfect. And even that, Jesus came and fulfilled all the law for you so it can be accepted by our God the Father. And you will start to see this with other too. You treat other the same way. Even other people is not perfect. Other people cannot fulfill your law, your regulation, your requirement. And you will start to see that, look at it in a fair way. I'm not perfect either. Then you will not, in a one-side justice, you will become a self-righteous person. And that's how the peace among people can start. Thirdly, how can we have peace with others? We need to believe in Jesus Christ. We need to depend on Him. Because Christ can make us one. That's in the verse 14 and the second part of 15. Let me read again. The verse 14, he says, "For He Himself is a peace who has made the two one." Has made two one. And then in verse 17, my eyes getting in trouble. His purpose was to create one new man out of two. Brother and sister, that's the peace Jesus is talking about. It's the oneness. We usually think about peace, maybe just that we don't fight with each other. Your brother and your sister don't fight with each other, that's a peace. We think the peace is only a cessation of conflict or cessation of hostility. No, that's only part of it. God, the Creator God, Jesus Christ, wants us to have the best peace we can have. That's a oneness. That's a harmonious relationship, like in a family, like in a church, so they can enjoy each other. Suppose a husband and a wife, they don't fight with each other, they don't have a conflict. Is that a oneness? Not necessary. They may not still talking with each other, they don't have a communion, and they don't understand each other. And one day, conflict will start again. Suppose a nation end their fight war with the other nation, but they still don't have any diplomatic channel, they don't have a communication, they don't understand each other's culture, and one day misunderstanding will start again and war will erupt again. But Jesus Christ came to make us one. He came to bring the best peace we can have. He said he came to make us one and make the two as one new man. Do you know what he's talking about, this two as one new man? He's making the Gentile and the Jew as one new man. He's talking about a church. That's what church is supposed to be. Church is supposed to be have a oneness. They're supposed to be have peace and unity. And I hope our church will be always like that. Our church is very blessed. We have all kind of group of people. We have ABC, we have OBC, We have AB, I don't know, ABK or not, I don't know, OBK. We may have, we have people from Malaysia. We have people from Indonesia. We have people from Hong Kong. We have people from Taiwan. We have people from China. And we have people even from Vietnam. And we have people from Philippines too. You see? We are very blessed. And I hope we can always keep the oneness among us. Because that's what Jesus Christ came to make us one. And Jesus Christ also came to make our family as one. I sincerely ask each one of you today, if you have comfort with your family member, go to reconcile to your father, to your mother. If you are angry with your spouse, be reconciled to him. If you are angry today with some of the member in the church, be reconciled to him. How can we have one? How can we have one? The secret is in the verse 17. Paul said, Jesus came and preached peace to you who are far away and peace to those who are near. Paul is talking about Jesus came to peace for those who are near, like the Jews, because they are the first can be close to God. And they also preach to those who are far away, that preach to Gentiles. The secret to have oneness is because everybody has to continuously to listen to the words of Jesus Christ. That's the way of peace. That's the secret of peace. We need to continuously to have deep personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If we keep listening to His word, we worship Him not only in church, but in our private devotional time. You study His word, you listen to His word. Through His Holy Spirit, He will encourage us. He will remind us to have oneness. He will remind us to act as Jesus acts. And then we will have a true and everlasting peace. If every member of a church has good relationship with Jesus Christ, if he constantly received encouragement and comfort from Jesus Christ's word in the Spirit, if he constantly thinks the way Jesus thinks, if he constantly imitates the humility of Jesus Christ, if he constantly imitates the acceptance and the love of Jesus Christ, the church can be one. If every member of a family constantly daily have a personal, deep personal relationship with Jesus Christ, if he study His words in his devotion and prayer, if he continuously receive the encouragement, reminding from Jesus' word in the Holy Spirit, if he imitate the humility of Jesus Christ, if he imitate the love of Jesus Christ, this family can be one. And the family will be very enjoyable family, will be blessed. So this is the secret we ought to learn. How can we have peace with others? We need to be reconciled to God through the blood of Jesus Christ. So we have tremendous peace, inner peace ourselves. I know many of us Christians, but we don't realize how precious it is. We don't know how realize how much the Creator God paid the price for our sin. In Romans chapter 5, 1, He said, now, through Jesus Christ, by faith, we are justified. Secondly, we ought to realize how much Jesus Christ has fulfilled for us undeservedly, even we are not perfect. And thirdly, we need to continue to have deep walk with Jesus Christ. Continue to listen to His words and have relation with Him. Let's pray. Our Father God, our Lord Jesus Christ, I want to thank You. Thank You for this wonderful word. Thank You for sending Your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sin. Thank You for Holy Spirit, You inspired Paul to write this secret of peace for us, for this day. So that we can, as a church, we can live as one. So that our family can live as one. so that our company, our friendship can be one. We not only just a cessation of conflict and tension, but living in harmony, in communion, and with a good common goal. And may you bless each one of us. May you bless the church. May you bless every family. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.